Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So, by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Woo! Welcome back, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It's 4 o'clock here in the Pacific time zone, and newsflash, I haven't used any cannabis all day. Does it show? I had a promise from some of the on issue 3 stoners against legalization that they'd call into the show today. Phone lines are open, 844-207-2346, toll free from any landline in North America. So please call in and explain why I need to remain a criminal in the state of Ohio for at least another 5 years. See, this is the thing. One of these stoners against legalization things is the wait till next year. It'll be better next year. We'll have a better legalization next year. Even though we couldn't get that better legalization on the ballot in 2014 or 2012 or 2010 or 2008, we will get it on the ballot in 2016. It'll be magic. There'll be a magical initiative that'll show up in 2016 and we'll all vote for it. It'll be perfect. And everybody who wants to grow weed and sell it can set up a little lemonade stand in front of their house and just sell weed right out of the lemonade stand and not have to pay taxes or have any regulations. It'll be wonderful. And the group that's behind it, even though they're $6,000 in the hole right now, and their leader is begging people through direct messages on Twitter for $10,000 donations so they can just get the money to print these signature gathering sheets, that group will somehow magically come up with $10 million and 500,000 signatures, and they'll get it on the ballot. And despite the fact that legalization failed the year before, it'll pass in 2016 because everybody will want to support it because it's so much better and lets everybody do anything they want with cannabis anytime they want, anywhere they want. Yeah. I remember hearing that argument in 2010 from the Stoners Against Legalization in California. We can't vote for Prop 19. It'll be a monopoly, they told me. It'll be a monopoly. It'll be all controlled by Richard Lee and his friends in Oakland. It's all about this one man trying to enrich himself and his friends. And it's only a 5x5 home garden. Nobody could ever grow enough weed in a 5x5 home garden. That's just not enough. We have to reject it. We have to reject Prop 19 because 2012 is around the corner. Surely there'll be much better legalization on the ballot in 2012. I mean, we can't accept Prop 19 with its 5x5 gardens. We can't accept it when it's going to create an Oakland monopoly. There'll be a monopoly. There's a really, really bad man, and he just wants to make a whole bunch of money on this, and it's just going to be terrible. And that's why we need to reject this monopoly. It's just so terrible. There's no way it could ever, ever be good. I mean, we reject this thing. And surely we're going to have far better legalization once we get to 2016.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, right. Folks, there's not going to be legalization on the ballot in 2016 in Ohio.
mark my words, write it down. There won't be legalization on the ballot in 2016 in Ohio. Unless it's the same responsible Ohio people coming back the following year after losing in 2015. And do you think if they lose in 2015 that the way that they'll tweak their language will be to take out the 10 investor grow model? Or do you think maybe they'll figure, gosh, maybe Ohio didn't vote for this because we gave people the right to grow at home? What do you think they'll compromise? Give up our 10 investor grow model or take away people's home grow right in the next time around? What do you think's going to happen? Because I'll tell you the way political people react when they float a ballot measure and it doesn't pass. They don't think, oh my God, we didn't reach far enough. We didn't give people enough stuff. No. When ballot measures fail, the people behind them tend to think, oh shit, we overreached. Shit, we overreached. Maybe we ought to back that out a bit. And you want evidence of that? Oregon, 2012, we had an initiative called OCTA, the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, that would have granted people the right to have loads and loads of weed and would have allowed the growers to control the entire market. It was basically a pothead wet dream of an initiative. Now, as that initiative was on the ballot, much more limited initiatives were in Washington and Colorado on the ballot. Initiatives that some of these stoners against legalization said sucked and we shouldn't support them unless we get something like Oregon's legalization on the ballot. And it turns out Washington, Colorado passed overwhelmingly 55% and Oregon's failed overwhelmingly 46%. So what came around the next time around? Was it more liberal? No.
Continue the conversation with Radical Russ online. Visit RadicalRuss.com and email RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
Science. I like speed limits point. He is right about the Ohio guys being really stupid about how they put this together. And I wish more people could understand that you can hate an aspect of legalization, but you don't have to throw out all of the legalization. You're throwing the baby out with bathwater. You're cutting off your nose to spite your face. We'll talk more about this just around the corner.
Radio, the activist radio station. Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
As a police officer, I walked the beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
can hear them in the night when there's no one around, like voices in my head, and I just can't get them out. No, I can hear them getting louder, and the lies are getting stronger. Someone's gotta say that this man.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 10 after 4, just scouring my Twitter feed. I just put up a post. Still waiting for that call, fellas. 844-207-2346. You always promise you're going to call in, and yet I never hear from you. That says something, I'm sure. Good point on the Twitter coming back from Ludlow Seeds, who says, if not for growers, illegal growers, prior to 1995 in particular, there would be no legal medical marijuana. True. Problem with that comparison, though, Ludlow, is that those growers who were supplying medical marijuana patients were doing so altruistically. I know them. Valerie Corral of Wham, Dennis Perrone of the Cannabis Buyers Club. These guys weren't charging people $300 an ounce for weed. I'm all for those people. The people whose mantra has been free the weed, overgrow the government. The ones who've been selling it as cheaply as possible. No problem with them. I'm talking about these guys who are selling the recreational bags at $40 to $60 an eighth. Shorting the bags. Leaving them all stemmy. Poorly manicured. Drenched in Eagle 20. 2 hours late to the appointment, no selection. These are the guys I'm talking about. And they're the ones that are opposing the legalization of marijuana. And this cry I hear from them, can't you imagine how much better it would be if we had all the business ops just like the other states? Well, how many marijuana business ops you got now? See, they want to compare themselves. We want to have what Oregon has. We'll move to Oregon then. You know why we got the type of free market we got in Oregon? Because our politics are different. We're a pretty blue state. We're a pretty green state. We've had medical marijuana since 1998. The kind of legalization we're going to be able to successfully clear the ballot with is going to be a better legalization than what you're going to get offered in Ohio the first time around when you don't even have medical marijuana. You got to get it legal first. All right, let's go to our phone lines. Got a call from the 541 area code. You're on the air with Toker Talk Radio. What's on your mind?
What's up, Russ? It's Justice. How you doing?
Doing great, Justice.
Hey, man, look, I've been listening to you for a little bit, and I'm just thinking, you know, what it is really, it's just a failure of the whole country to not be able to compromise anymore. Like, no one can compromise. It's like big, huge country of babies.
There you go.
So
I think too many of them are not old enough to remember the sage words of that fine philosopher Mick Jagger, who once said, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need.
Right. Exactly. And if you, like, anything, I mean, I agree with you, you know, legalization on any front, like, well, except the CBD, but we'll take that too. But, like, what I'm saying is, like, you know, God damn it, if you can grow and have that much, why are you, you're not going to profit that much in the long run anyways. So what's your point? Your point is end. You know it's coming to an end. This legalization is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So you have no time in that industry anyways in that particular way.
Yeah. And how many of these guys, even in the legal industry, would find they couldn't be a part of it. They either wouldn't have the money to apply for the fees or the background, you know, the capital requirements for some of the laws, or be able to afford the security cameras, or, you know, there's so many ways. I mean, the legal marijuana game is a game for rich people now. That's just no matter how you shake it out.
Well, you need money. I have a really small business and I'm self-employed. And it takes a lot of money to do just what I do that's really small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm, comparatively. And so, can you imagine doing something that's on a grand scale with regulations, with this, anything you do with the state is triple complicated anyways, trust mm-hmm. me. And then, like, all the other things that, like the, you know, all the rules that you have to follow. They, I mean, lawyers, those are not cheap. You know,
no.
So, like, I mean, there's reasons that these are called businesses, is because people who know how to run them have to do that. And if you're a grower, that's cool. Go get a job at a business.
Right. And that's, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is the thing I always come back on them when they're saying, oh, how the economic opportunities, why would we want to sell those all away? 10 grower jobs. Everything else is open to everybody. You can own a store, you can own a processing plant, you can own an MTF, a testing facility, or if you're a grower with skills, you could get hired on at one of these 10 grows. I know a lot of guys in Denver who were household growers, small-time black market growers, who now are like the master grower at, what's Arbeleza's place? River Rock. Or the master grower at some other dispensary, right? It's not like, you think Frosty Rucker and Oscar Robertson and Nick Lachey are going to be tending plants?
No, not at all. And so it's like, you do your time. Like, you know, if you say you've grown for a long time, even if you've grown a long time and you're, say you're that closet dude and you want to go get a job, you can't, you're actually going to walk in there and be the shit. You still have a lot to learn.
Now, so, one of the things I do hate about this, though, in some of the states that legalize, is they'll put a thing in there that says, if you've got a conviction for cultivation or distribution or trafficking that's newer than 2 years old here in Oregon, some states it's longer, then you're disqualified. That's unfair. We shouldn't disqualify the guys who got busted, you know, when it was illegal, when they're trying to be legal.
Well, yeah, I mean, what are we going to do, like, bust people for, like, you know, if you should be grandfathered in, I agree.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, there's also the people who have the mindset of, you know, that this is a career, like me. Like, this is what I want to do as a career. So 3 years ago, I started working in greenhouse. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, not even touching marijuana. I haven't touched a marijuana plant in a greenhouse ever.
Right.
But, however, I have the confidence that I could go do my own sun-grown operation and be successful at it. So it's about thinking higher than just, you know, fucking...
Well, I think a lot of it is just being pissed off at rich people.
Yeah.
I had a guy on Twitter today that was going off the, why should we let the 1% who've never smoked weed take control of the market? Oh, so you're just pissed at rich people. That's what it is. You're just pissed at rich people.
Yeah, no. No, you can do it. If you want to, you can take, seriously, I started my business out with $100 and now I make a living off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to do it, you'll do it. And if you don't, then it won't happen.
There you go. Well, I appreciate
that. Anyways, good talking to you, man.
Thanks, Justice. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. And yeah, the other thing that that bothers me about this, there's so much that bothers me about this, is this fantasy that we're going to defeat Ohio in 2015. And then this group, whoever it is, will amass 500,000 signatures, get $10 million in donations, and be able to put something on the ballot that will win in 2016. So if that group has the power to raise money and signatures to create a brand new legalization scheme and business plan completely out of whole cloth in 2016 after a defeat in 2015, then why wouldn't this group have the power to amend the Constitution for the legalization that already exists to open up more grow sites and have them open up for competitive bids? Somehow they have the power to pass a completely brand new constitutional amendment, but they're too weak to be able to amend an existing one. Think about that. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Now, the excuse I get is, oh, well, see, once the oligopoly is in control, then they'll have their own enforcement agents that will be a Gestapo that will automatically go down and enforce their law and prevent any... It doesn't stop you from running an amendment. And if this monopoly oligopoly thing is so odious as you claim it is, wouldn't people be eager to vote for your amendment?
Oh, I could have smoked that pot.
Yeah, you could have, Homer. You could have, but the stoners against legalization say you have to wait until Flanders can make mint grow on weed. God. Hey, it's 420 here in Potland, Oregon, and I'm without. That's rare. Talk to you right after the break. We got some Ivy Wednesday music with Gordon Green.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. In the middle of the week, we like to take a look around the world to see what's new in music, and we've got Gordon Green from Gordon Green's Music Planet to tell us all about it. How you doing, Gordon?
Doing damn good today, Russ. How about yourself?
Damn good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm having a good time myself, and looking forward to Gordon Green's Music Planet tonight, part of our 8 o'clock weekday music block. Catch every 8 o'clock show from Monday through Friday. And Wednesday, it's the Music Planet, which is the best of music from around the world. What's on tap tonight?
On tap tonight, Russ, is a show worked on it a lot. It's called, it's a show of cross-cultural collaborations. Those are groups or musicians from different parts of the world. They get together. They make some nice music together. And a lot of interesting things. Great music. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, I'm sure we will, and always enjoying the Music Planet. And we've also got a tune here for our 420 break from an artist that is familiar to our listeners because you've played her before here on the show.
I have. I haven't played this song before. This is my closing number for Gordon Green's Music Planet tonight. It's a collaboration, more of a lyrical and writing collaboration than music styles. But this is Chilean singer Ana Tiju, who I've played a couple of times on the show before, and Palestinian-born rapper Shadia Manzoor. And she lives in London now. It's really big in political activism, as is Ana Tiju. And so they've hooked up to make a nice, nice political tune. It's called Somos Sur, which is Spanish, means we're south or we're southern.
All right. Well, let's get to the tune. And Gordon, thanks for the music. And thanks for the Music Planet shows. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. Peace out.
All right. This is Anna Tiju with the Somos Sur.
And Sharia Manzur.
Tú nos dices que debemos sentarnos, pero las ideas solo pueden levantarnos, caminar, recorrer, no rendirse ni retroceder, ver, aprender cómo esponja absorbe. Nadie sobre todos, faltan todos, suman todos para todos, todo para nosotros. Soñamos en grande que se caiga el imperio, lo gritamos alto, no queda más remedio. Esto no es utopía, es alegre rebeldía del baile de los que sobran de la danza tuya mía. Levantarnos para decir ya basta. África ni América Latina se suba. Con barro, con casco, con lápiz a patear el fiasco. Provocar un social terremoto en este charco. Vamos.
.buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
As a warning to parents, this next segment contains references to recreational drug use. So you might want your children to leave the room before they see you getting these jokes. And kids, you might want to leave anyway, because this segment also contains graphic references to Ohio. Jim?
Ohio will be the next state to vote to legalize marijuana. A group collected enough signatures on the issue for that November ballot. If approved, Ohio would become the fifth state to legalize marijuana for recreational use.
That's right. For the first time in history. A lot of people from Ohio here tonight. For the first time in history, Ohio could legally be round on both ends and high in the middle. Now this. Yeah. Now, look, this is a big deal. This is a very big deal. You expect the Mary Jane to be legal in states like Oregon or Washington or Colorado. I mean, for Pete's sake, Colorado's state flag is a yarn poncho. But Ohio? Come on, that's America's heartland, where folks are supposed to get high on elbow grease and huff the can-do spirit and freebase a Buckeye. But it looks like this thing could actually pass. According to a recent poll, Ohioans support legalization 52% to 44%. This, despite public health officials warning that it's dangerous to legalize weed in a state with a national headquarters of Wendy's. Wait a second. A redhead with braids? That's Willie Nelson. I'll see you tomorrow, Willie. Remember to bring some Wendy's with you. Enough for everybody. Biggie fries, okay? But even if legalization looks likely, the pro-marijuana lobby isn't resting on their dank, sticky laurels. They're bringing out the big guns to appeal to the youth vote.
Look who is coming to college campuses. This is Buddy, the marijuana mascot. The group Responsible Ohio is using the mascot to encourage college students to get out and vote this November.
Yes, Buddy, the marijuana mascot. Now, first of all, if you're a college student who's high and you see Buddy, I'm not sure you're going to go to the voting booth. I'm pretty sure you're going to check yourself into a psych ward. And second, first of all, I'm not convinced that that is marijuana. It's got a bee on its chest, and it kind of looks like a giant Brussels sprout. That would be a hard sell to college students. You'd have to smoke a whole lot to catch a buzz. And third, first of all, I seriously question whether you need this mascot to promote the idea of marijuana to college students. They already have a mascot. They're a freshman roommate, Chief Big Bong. And his friend, the Warrior, who doesn't even go to your college but is always hanging out anyway. Oh, yeah. The Warrior on the warpath. Folks, I think you might as well send a mascot called Yummy the Muscular Pizza Slice and Prophylacto the Casual Sex Condom. He's here to help the freshmen. His secret lair is their wallet, and he never leaves it. Some say he's in there still.
Hey, everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
But without further ado, please welcome Michael Monarch and Lee Berger.
Well,
What an honor. Thank you so much. I want to give big ups, big thanks to Alex and this fantastic conference. In fact, yeah, thank you. Let's do it up. Thank you so much. I, in fact, met my, well, I've known my business partner for over 18 years, but we connected at the corner of the bottom of the hotel leading up to the original first OMMBC. So these conferences are amazing. They're full of great information. Reach out to all the vendors. You know, they spent a lot of time and money getting ready for this, and they've been in the trenches to get you the right information. So reach out to those vendors out there and suppliers and purveyors of information and services. So a little bit about myself. I'm Michael Monarch. I'm originally from the Bay Area of California. I moved up to Oregon about 15 years ago, so feel pretty Oregonian at this point. I've been in the southern part of the state for that time, and I have a very diverse background. I have 20 years as a self-employed entrepreneur. My father is an immigrant from Israel and has been self-employed with his own businesses and corporations for over 45 years in various sectors of service and retail. So I have it in my blood to start businesses. As he's recently said, I think I have a board of business cards, you know, probably 20, 30 deep. So I'm very eclectic. I've used a lot of those skills that I've gathered over these last 20 years of my adult life have really brought me to a culmination of this point in expressing myself in this amazing burgeoning and nascent industry, this cannabis industry. And I so prefer to call it cannabis as opposed to marijuana. And, you know, going back to the roots of its scientific name and giving it the respect that it deserves, as well as I know Lee Berger loves to use the phrase adult use as opposed to recreational. So let's be careful with the language we use. At Green Valley Wellness, we set the intention of really setting the bar professionally in our area. And the way we did that, me personally, and I want to give a big shout out to a hero of mine, is Steve D'Angelo, and down in the Bay Area and Harborside, and what he's done for this industry. Please, let's give it up for him. He's been a speaker at these conferences before, and he's just amazing, amazing man. And he was in Southern Oregon recently exploring our amazing cultivar area that produces some of the world's best cannabis. He was just down for a Sun-Grown Growers Guild event and a fundraiser. So get to know these organizations. They exist. I mean, whether it's, you know, Normal or the Sun Grower Guilds or the political PACs, these organizations are working diligently on your behalf, whether you're in the industry or coming to join the industry. Do your research. Reach out. This is not us against each other. There is so much room in this industry. It's really us against the man. It's us against the 70 years of misinformation and of reefer madness. So let's get together and work together. You know, we have our own methodologies and our own styles, but let's honor those differences. Let's not attack each other. And this isn't, you know, we're nowhere near a competitive point in our industry. At this point, as again bringing Steve D'Angelo back, at the last conference I heard him speak at, he said, this is at a point where all boats rise with the rising tide. And this is not just a tide that's rising, folks. This is a tsunami. So grab your longboard, because here we go. It's about to take off. So let's all share and be kind to each other and work together and form associations and organizations and make political impact, because this is the time to put our stake in the ground. This is the Wild West right now. We are the pioneers coming and staking our claims. So build your brand, build your company, because that is going to be your claim. And it will be difficult to get land, as it were, to build that brand later. Now it is wide open. Any aspect of this industry that you want to be involved in, you should jump wholeheartedly in with passion, because I guarantee you, to be successful in this business, as in any starting business, it's going to take 60 to 80 hours a week of intense work to build something from the ground up. You're gonna be building your SOPs. You need to learn about that, your standard operating procedures. If you're an extractor, how do you handle the herb? How do you process the herb? How do you handle the extract? How do you not contaminate it? How do you prevent it from being contaminated to begin with? If you're a grower, what are your methodologies? Are you organic? Are you synthetic? Are you not? Are you? What are you doing and how are you focusing? Do your research and jump in wholeheartedly with what you're passionate about, because then it will not feel like work. You'll enjoy what you're doing and the success will come. My father has an amazing, amazing statement, and I've loved to live by it, and that is that the harder I work, the luckier I seem to get. So get out there and do that work and put the foundation in now, but do it in a way that you love it, because it won't feel like work then. I wake up every day so excited about what I'm doing. And what I am doing, so you'll know, is my partner and I formed a holding company. At that first OMMBC, we decided to create something that could be an umbrella to hold vertical integration, because right now, being so early in the industry, if you're not vertically integrated, it's difficult to make any profit, I'll be honest, with 280E. So the way 280E works is that you have your cost of goods as a dispensary, but you don't get the rent to write off, you don't get the manpower to write off, you don't get the computers and the IT and the security and all these things that you're going to spend money on are going to be considered phantom income by the IRS, meaning you've spent the money, those employees even paid their taxes, but if you're an S Corp as we are, or even a C Corp potentially, it's going to funnel back up and be taxed as if you made the money, because the deduction isn't there. So how do you overcome the difficulties of 280E? And I would say most likely through vertical integration, because you're still being taxed on the profit part. You are getting the cost of good. Well, when you produce your own medicine, if you produce your own cannabis, that manpower can be written off. To the best of my understanding, you should consult your own legal professionals, including accountants, please, that are specialized in this industry or specialized in cash handling, that are specialized with 280E deductions, because where you're going to succeed and have some profit and not pay everything left to the man, as it were, right now until these laws change, is by having some form of vertical integration. And the way we did that is we formed Green Valley Wellness. This is our brand here. This year, 2015, we won the award of Best Dispensary in the Rogue Valley, which was a great honor from the Rogue Messenger. It's a weekly or bi-monthly reader. We also didn't encourage anyone to vote for us, so that was exciting because it was a natural thing that we just let happen, and to win that award really, really validated what my partner and I were doing, which was setting the bar professionally. So what does that mean? Well, when you walk into our reception, it's very professional with a very nice mahogany desk, a warm colors and greeting, a very friendly smile, a true heartwarming welcome to our establishment, because when they come in, they're going to come in with a lot of questions. They're not necessarily going to be patients. They might want to become patients. They might be leery even if they have their card. They're a grower and they have their own cannabis that they're happy with, but you want to win hearts and minds. And Alex was talking about that. My partner and I, before we even opened, we went to the city council meetings and we won them over. We won with a 4-3 vote against moratoriums. And since that time, one of the council members has now become the mayor. And she sees me at the downtown coffee shop in Tallinn and she asks me how business is. And my response is always 7 to 8 employees. That's my answer. And we give a big thumbs up. And we spend hundreds of dollars a day in our business alone in Tallinn, whether it be restaurants or supplies or gas or whatever it is. And I'll tell you, if 280E didn't exist, I would probably have 12 to 13 employees. I would be hiring more employees right now as soon as 280E shifts. But for now, folks, you need to run the tightest ship possible. So that means that every manpower hour that you're paying is a phantom income coming to you or the corporation. So unfortunately, you need to be a very good manager right now. You need to pull the most that you can out of your employees while winning their hearts and minds to not feel like work, but yet at the same time give everything we can to our customers, our patients, because you can't be hiring necessarily as much staff as you'd like, or suddenly all the profit is out the window. So, you know, I have a diverse skill set, and it ranges from, I was a massage therapist in the past 20 years ago. I had my own massage and wellness center in Zihuatanejo, Mexico. I had a wholesale jewelry business, as well as manufacturing, and then 10 years as a realtor. And so honestly, this is all a culmination from the dispensary to our edibles company, which is showcasing here, Epic Edibles. And we have an indoor production facility called Epic Productions, and that is our vertical integration. And I brought all my skills together and brought my partner on. I'm the CEO, and he's the COO. He handles all the operations. I'm more of the visionary and grand oversight and team building and sales and marketing. And so what I want to encourage you is don't do this all yourself, because you'll flop on your face. You may require partners. At the very minimum, you're going to require an amazing manager and a great team. So hire carefully. HR still applies. Human resources applies to this industry. Don't get caught with your pants down because you're paying cash. You still need to keep the taxes behind. You still need to give them forms to sign related to the IRS, you know, speak to your accountants about that. So your various tax forms need to be on file. You need to have HR files for people. You need to write up reprimands. You need to have write-ups to fire properly. They can still take you to court. They can still, you know, file for unemployment. And we're targets, you know, more than anything. We actually got an unemployment request from someone who didn't even work for us. So, I mean, I'm not sure how that would happen exactly, but it got resolved, of course. But be prepared for a lot of red tape and difficulties in the sense of no banking. You need to have good cash handling processes. You need to have amazing security. And that's required by the state. So what I want to recommend is reaching out to mentors. You know, at this stage, it's probably going to be family and or other successful business people in your lives, and others that have been successful in the industry, whether it be growing, distribution, whether it be processing. Reach out to these people who are successful. If you know anyone in the industry right now and you're not involved yet, you know, reach out to them. And before I continue, let's take a quick question. How many of you own a dispensary here? How many of you would like to own a dispensary? Okay. How many of you interact with a dispensary on a business level? Okay. So I would say between all of that, we're talking about 70 to 80% of the room. So what I would recommend is you're going to need to hire professionals. You're going to need to hire a tax accountant with 280E and industry knowledge. You're going to need to hire really competent lawyers, and I'm saying that with an S, because there's lawyers that have specialties and niches. You're going to need to know someone with IP, intellectual property, licensing property, exit strategies. How do you plan to exit your business? You need to create that on the formation side, because especially with partners or investors, that can go sideways in a heartbeat and get very ugly and litigious, and you could be ending up in court. You could end up bankrupt. You could end up in a lot of hot water if you don't think about exit strategy from your inception. I want to really encourage that. You want to hire a realtor. Don't think that you're going to find your best location by yourself. Work with realtors. They often get paid by the sellers in Oregon, even for leasing. So hire professionals. Security firms. We tried going with a cheap security system that met the state standards out of Costco and put it in. It worked. Well, first we actually hired a firm that said they were really good at it, got it in, but the system was so complicated that it was almost impossible for us to work. So then we did a workaround and went to, let's stop spending $5,000. Let's go get an $800 system that meets the state standards. Well, don't cut corners. We did. And in the end, we ended up hiring a local security professional company upgraded our whole system and brought it to a level where now I have it on my cell phone right now. I can look at all 16 cameras in my dispensary in live real time, and it's fully functional and meets all compliance. So never, ever, ever cut any quarters regarding compliance. I would encourage you to consider an IT and tech staff for cybersecurity and HIPAA compliance. This is a medical establishment. You need to understand HIPAA. You can't greet someone like Cheers and say, "Hey, Norm," when they walk in. If my name is Michael Monarch, they can't walk in the dispensary and in front of three other customers or patients, you say, "Michael Monarch, how you doing?" You can't give away those names. This is still a private medical situation, even with the bud tenders. So you constantly need to be aware that you have the chance to be sued at any time. So just be aware of that, and for any number of other reasons. These people think we're making fortunes right now, folks, and at the moment in the dispensary side, there truly isn't that much profit. What we're building now is building a lifestyle. We're able to pay ourselves for the hard work we're doing, but the profit side of any other businesses isn't really there. And so what we're really building is brands and market share. So if we're building market share because competition is coming, the big boys are coming, and the buyouts are coming in the next few years. And that's going to look like big pharma, pharmaceutical companies. That's going to look like tobacco. That's going to look like alcohol, because they are going to be losing significant market share as cannabis gains ground and gains hearts and minds and loses the stigma, especially on a federal level. So those three are coming gunning, and if you have any dreams of exit strategy or early retirement or catching this wave and booming and before it busts, I would say get your exit strategy in line and understand that you're building market share and winning hearts and minds right now. So that's the most important thing. I would say how to succeed. You're going to need to be patient and customer centric. I mean, this is like the Nordstrom's experience. You could bring in tires, the old adages in the 80s and 90s, you could bring in tires into Nordstrom's and say, "These tires don't fit my car anymore," and they would refund your money, and they didn't even sell tires. It's like a true story. So just to keep you as a customer, because they know when you came back happy at Nordstrom's, you might have been spending $1,000 the next time. So the thing is, on average, if you get some of these reports that are out there and spend the big money, I'll give you one of the big numbers that are important for dispensaries, is at least it was last year the numbers in some reports that we paid a lot of money for, and I'm seeing those numbers to be true. Most customers are going to spend between $40 and $60 a visit. So if you're losing those customers to competitors, or you're losing them because your employees pissed them off or didn't take care of them, they might be coming four times a month. That's $250 a month you're losing from one customer. That's possibly $3,000 a year. You add 10 customers and suddenly $30,000 in revenue is out the window. It adds up very, very, very quickly. Now, those are averages. Some customers obviously spend more, and some just come in for a joint and, you know, spend $10 or even $2 for their papers. But you need to still treat them like the king and queen that they are, as far as really giving them the customer service. We went as far as even doing a customer appreciation stamp card like these coffee stands do, you know, instead of a free coffee after 10 visits, we give our customers $20 in credit. I did the math on it, and in the end, it was a 3% deduction or a 3% discount based on an average sale over those 10 visits. But you know what that does? They love us. They come in with a guns a-blazing with their card ready to stamp. And, you know, it has to be a purchasing visit to get a stamp. But that we're winning their hearts and minds. They're telling their friends, "You got to go get a stamp card." I mean, I can't tell you how many stamp cards we gave out in the first few weeks that we thought of this. So be creative. This is an exciting time. One of my most fun things about this industry is that we're dealing with people who smoke cannabis. For God's sakes, they're artistic, they're witty, they're funny. So have fun with your discounts and your sales. Wacky Wednesday, Monday Madness, Shatterday, Saturday. I mean, whatever it is, there's so many fun, creative things that we can do. And don't hold back and, you know, try things, because some things will surprise you what work with discounts and some things or with incentives, and other things will be, your shirt's going to work and it flops. So don't hold on to anything. interesting. It's an interesting, eclectic group of customers, and so you want to be on your toes and constantly, you know, adapting to the competition. Leafly is an amazing resource because the menus are on there, and they also forward those menus to a lot of websites that are industry created so that customers can see your updated menu. It shows how many minutes ago, so literally in like current time, how current your menu is. When you update it, please make sure to remember to update everything, because they're going to assume when they saw 29 minutes ago it was updated that the whole menu is accurate. And then they come in, and if they want what was on your menu and you don't have it, you have an upset customer, and now you're dealing with, you know, discounts or offering them incentives to not be upset. So really keep up on your Leafly menu. It really drives a lot of customers, and I would encourage you to work with ways to creatively build your reviews. It's also like a Yelp of our industry. So people leave reviews on Leafly, and those consumers are on their phones and tablets and mobile, and they're going around. And if you've got more results and a higher feedback rating, they're going to come see you first. You know, especially with adult use or recreational sales that are coming, they're going to have no idea where to go. They're going to jump right on their mobile devices, on their cell phones, smartphones, and definitely see. They're going to type in Ashland, Oregon dispensary, and Leafly, I guarantee you, is going to probably be the first thing. And so really be aware of the tools in the industry. Weed Maps is another one that's very popular in California, not so much in Oregon, but you might want to consider using that now, because we're going to have quite a bit of California tourism coming in the coming months. What I would also say, you need to run the tightest ship possible, as I described with 280E. I would say you need friendly, service-oriented people that you can trust. That is the most important thing with your hiring. Forget all of the extreme cannabis knowledge. If they're not friendly, service-oriented, and someone you can trust, all of that other information goes out the window. I would say be caring and fill their needs, not yours. And so what that means is, if you don't have an RSO, a Rick Simpson oil, or a CCO, concentrated cannabis oil, that's going to help their cancer or get them a deep night's sleep with an indica type of product or something like that, but your neighbor down the street, you know, over 1,000 feet away with another dispensary does, and you know they do, don't try to sell them something that they don't need. Tell them about that. Tell them that you sent them there, and it goes back and forth. And we as a dispensary community send people back and forth to take care of the customer's needs. If we don't have it, don't try to sell something they don't need. You'll never get them back. They'll be upset. So rather take care of them and be honest and tell them you don't have what they need, or send them to somewhere they do, but take care of their need. Don't upsell them. Don't cross-sell them. Certainly educate them and share with them what may be the best thing for them in your opinion, whether you're the bud tender or up at the front desk. You know, I tend to keep any of the advice or interaction around the personal nature of their experience with the bud tenders, and do a deeper level of training with your bud tenders. We actually do a once a month employee meeting, and it's about an hour to an hour and a half, and it's all about what's new right now. What are the new rules? What are the new guidelines? What do we have to share with customers so they're in compliance, so we're in compliance? What you know, what's happening? What's new? Because it is changing so fast. Troy Dayton, the CEO of ArcView, which is an amazing kind of group it's basically the Shark Tank of our industry. They do funding on a massive level. Last year was $70 million, I think, in 2014. 2015 is looking like $200 million, I believe. They are an incredible group of investors. And he's the CEO, and he said about 6 months ago or 9 months ago, he said, this industry is moving at a pace that 3 months is the equivalent of a year in any other industry. And I was like, ha, yeah, right. And I will tell you what, he was 100% right. If you're in this business or about to get in it, hold on, because it is moving at a pace of about every 3 months is the equivalent of a year. So if you are not keeping up with seminars and information and legislation and lawyers and politicians and...
Well, folks, that's all the time we got for Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio. Time flies when you legalize. That was Michael Monarch at the Oregon Cannabis Business conference, Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, I should say, took place this last weekend. We got more for you coming tomorrow on the show, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Hope you'll tune in for more news, interviews, and views you can use for the cannabis community. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.